This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Let's go to Drew in San Jose. Steve Kerr, less than 15 minutes away. Hey, Drew, what's going on? You're on Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. I just wanted to talk about Jimmy Butler and his history with different teams, right? Particularly the Heat, because I'm getting this notion that we all think that we're getting a new Jimmy Butler, but my argument is that this has been the Jimmy Butler at least since his Miami days. And all they have to do is go back to the playoffs in the bubble where you had a very, very young Miami Heat team that he was able to take to the finals. And he was able to elevate Tyler Hero, who was a rookie, Bam Adebayo, who was a third or fourth year guy. And it was he was the connector with those guys as well. In an offense that, like, that's Eric Spoelstra ran, that is very, very similar to the movement offense that Steve Kerr runs here. So, I would make the argument that this is a happy Jimmy Butler, and that we're getting the best out of him. And he's and the reason he's, I mean, how he's helping the young guys get along and play, particularly BP and Moses, is no surprise to me, honestly.
Well, Drew, I think, you know, you can sing the praises of Jimmy's talent all day long, and I think that that's fair. And you can talk about him elevating teammates, and that's fair. I would still argue two things. A, you just never know how it's going to work with your group. And B, ain't no way in hell I thought it was going to be this quick. You know what I mean?
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think you're alluding to Jimmy's like personality issues and how that might have translated. I think, you know, with the Heat, he was mad at the contract that he had gotten that he did not get for that matter. And with Minnesota, he was particularly mad at the younger players for not like falling in line. Right. And I don't think those two problems exist right now with the Warriors, but could they exist in 1 to 2 years? Absolutely they can, but I'm enjoying the ride while it lasts.
Yeah, see, Drew, thank you. And that's where I am too. You know what I mean? Like, you know what's wild? Here's the statement that's wild. You trade for Jimmy Butler. You still don't even know what this necessarily means for Jonathan Kuminga's future and his contract or how he's going to play, or is there now a new ceiling that's over Jonathan's head? You don't know any of that yet. And you have signed him to an extension worth, what is it, 111? Is that what we decided it is? 111 for 2 years?
I think 112. Yeah,
112. Yeah. Okay, $111, $112 million for 2 years, and that hadn't even started yet. Okay, that hasn't even started yet. So that could go completely sideways. He's played 10 basketball games for the Warriors, and I am already willing to sit here and say, good move.
Yeah.
I don't care what goes wrong the rest of the way. It was the right move, a good move. It has rebirthed Steph Curry and meaningful basketball. And I can't tell you what that's worth to this fan base. I think if you're tapped in at all to what's going on with Warrior basketball right now, you know. Like, the excitement around this team, the people who are flocking to the arena, to the television set, to the radio, to our social channels. Everything has gone through the roof. And it's not to see Jimmy play. It's because of what he's created. And it's, to me, the realization that, yes, the hope that Steph Curry wasn't done has been confirmed. He's not done.
He's not done, and hopefully they're not done. And what this has done for the franchise and for Joe Lacob, really, Mark, is almost assured that next year they're going to go into the second apron, which is something you can only do one time. You don't want to do it in back-to-back years, but you mentioned it. You sign him for $112 million. Next year, Steph gets 59.6. Jimmy gets 54.1. Draymond's at about 26. In the total allocations right now, which will be an allocation sensation
good
for Joe Lacob and company, they're on the hook right now for $170.5 million. This year's salary cap is $140.5. So you're assuredly, if you bring everyone back, you're going to be over the salary cap. And if you sign Kuminga to, let's just say, $25 million a year, I don't know what that number will be, but you're going to be up around $200 million, which means, again, Joe Lacob is going to be paying a huge amount of money in tax penalties. But if you win 9 of every 10 games, I think he's willing to do that.
I mean, he's basically already said, we're doing it.
Right, we're doing it.
We love that guy.
It's easy
we
to
love
do
Kuminga.
It when, you know, now all of a sudden you roar up into the sixth seed and you're 9-1 with Jimmy, and things are looking good, and it looks like these three can work if they stay upright, and Steph's about to be 37 in a week or so, but Joe Lacob and company have basically said, yeah, we're doing it. We're going to go ahead and spend, again, whatever it takes. So this year was we kind of want to get out of the second apron, we want to save money, and it didn't really work out, and then Joe went to Mike Dunleavy and said, get me a star, Mike. This isn't working for me.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Yeah, Grandy, what'd you want to throw in here?
Well, you guys are talking about Jimmy's contract and the 2 years, $112 million, and maybe it's a lot of money to be paying to another aging veteran guy. I think the way that you can look at it, and I think the way the Warriors are probably looking at it, and I think it becomes easier to understand why they would do it. First of all, the results right now are great, and that makes up for it, as you're talking about, Willard. Who cares about what it's like 2 years from now? But they're doing it. They gave the contract so that now would go well, because Jimmy Butler wasn't going to be here if they didn't give him the extension, and if for some reason he was here and he didn't have the extension, he wouldn't be playing the way that he's playing, because that was the exact situation he was in Miami, and he refused to play. Or purposely tanked everything there.
Right.
They're paying him what they're paying him so that now will be good. And it's working so far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I'd also say this with regard to whatever goes into the future and Joe needs to pay this tax or this apron or whatever the hell is going on with their books. This is why I think, as a Warrior fan, most fans I know love that Joe Lacob is the owner of their favorite team, because this is the way he sort of looks at life. And I'll take it down to a way, 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 way less money sort of an example.
Yeah.
But
you're talking about your kids and ice cream again?
No, but my daughter turned 16 last week.
Okay.
Now,
we shouted her out.
The big gift that I got her, I'm not going to say what it was, but there's a little, for me, it's a little expensive. For me.
It's a brand new car.
No, because she's a little behind on getting the license.
Okay.
But a little stretch,
okay,
right? But what I have is a picture of the smile that it put on her face, lit up the entire essence of her being. And when you see that as a dad, I don't care what the hell it costs.
Yeah,
I'd basically have paid anything. And I think Joe Lacob looks at a 9-1 record with Jimmy Butler the same way. I don't care what. Make a fourth apron.
Sure.
We'll go into it. Make one up.
Make me wear an apron.
You're going to win 90% of your games and make everybody in this arena feel this way and make everybody in the city act this way and make everyone talk about Warrior basketball and have this kind of vibe again. I don't care what that costs. The answer is yes.
Right. And that's where, you know, you go ahead and do that. And I do think that it was born out of a certain amount of frustration. And we talked about the report where Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's agent, went right into the underground secret bar with Joe Lacob at halftime to have cocktails and talk trade because Joe Lacob was rightfully frustrated with what this team was. They were flatlining at or near 500. And beyond that, they'd become a little bit boring, even with the chef. Like, the chef was frustrated.
No doubt.
And we were talking about a crisis of confidence, and Draymond was frustrated, and this team was win two, lose three, win three, lose four. They were stuck in the mud. And so, yeah, whatever apron you want to put us in, I'll do it. And I just was looking at the number. Next year, they're estimating that the second apron, which is the restrictive level, it's going to be $208 million. Right now, you're at $170 for next year. So that's $38 million that you can spend before you have to get up to the estimated level. Now, GP2 is a free agent. Kevon Looney's a free agent. And Kuminga is a restricted free agent. So can you keep all three of them for under $40 million for next year?
Oh, I don't know that you can keep all three of them. I don't really know what GP2 and Kevon Looney, I don't know.
Well, he's making nine, and yeah, Kevon's making eight. What's their market?
But I think it goes down.
Right.
It
so
goes down.
I do think that you could give Kuminga 25, and you could give those two 12 combined and end up keeping all three.
Right, but then you're going to have other roster spots that you need to figure out as well. I don't know. I don't know if they'll keep all three, and I don't know that Kuminga's getting 25.
Yeah, it becomes, you know, financial gymnastics in the offseason, and the big piece of that is what you just said. Kuminga's got 20 games left in the season. He's got 19 games left in the season because he's not playing tomorrow. He might have 18 games left in the season if he doesn't face Detroit. And if he has 18 games left and it's a slow ramp-up, he might have 12 games left in the season plus playoffs to really show out. And so, you know, that it's an off-season topic that might be more troubling for Kuminga than it would have been had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah, I sit here right now having very little sense of what that actual market is. Because if we go through this timeline of everybody, you know, Joe Lacob was like, we love the guy. Of course we're going to keep Jonathan Kuminga. Okay, and I believe that. I really do. But we're also like fresh off of a December where Anthony Slater's like, Warriors are going into information gathering season with Jonathan Kuminga. And then what's the information they've got? Okay, let's think about it. Since December, what have we gotten? Well, you've got a major injury. You've got the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. You've got the team finally being unlocked. And that all happens without him. And now you got to get the information of, can you come back from the injury?
Yeah, you also got the information of, oh my God, he's finally fulfilling the promise.
I mean, he was putting
eight
up
games,
numbers.
10 games where he was balling out.
He was putting up numbers, right. But it wasn't necessarily attached with winning yet. The record wasn't any better in the games that he balled out versus when he wasn't. So, and now you're going to have this like run to the finish line. Does he fit in? What does he do with the playoffs? You want to keep him. And then the biggest thing of them all, which has nothing to do with the Warriors and nothing to do with Kuminga's stats. Who else is out there offering him anything?
Yep, it's fair.
That's the biggest thing of all that's going to decide what Jonathan Kuminga makes. And they might. They might get him for 20. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be 30. I don't know.
I would bet it will be less than 30, and I can't help but think about Jalen Green, who is a young scorer for Houston. And he's averaging 21 a night this year. He's a good young player. He's better than Jonathan Kuminga.
He's their one.
Right. And he signed in October 3 years and $106 million, which is about 34 and change per year. And he is outplaying that contract by NBA standards, yet that's what he got. And like you said, Kuminga missing 2 months. He's not their one. He's not their two. He's probably their three when healthy. And a team that, you know, with, you don't really need him to be the three every night with other shooters and Pods and Moody and the rest. So I do think his value is going to be more depressed than what Jalen Green got in October.
I agree with you. And again, the big thing is that there are very, very few teams right now who have cap space.
Right.
There are very few teams, even the ones who do, that are probably in a position to go after Jonathan Kuminga with the kind of deal that not only would he sign, but would get him off of the Warriors roster. And I don't think there are any teams out there that are all that motivated to play the game of like, let's up the value so that it makes the Warriors do this, that, and the other. I like Brooklyn doesn't care about that. That's not what their number one goal is going to be. They're not even in the same conference. So I just think that Kuminga has got a few things that have landed not in his favor when it comes to this conversation. And that is namely the lack of another suitor and a very, very poorly timed big time injury. Those two things have not worked in his favor as far as this contract is concerned.